Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Tuesday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia. Welcome back. It is good to be back. It's glad to have you back. Also, I definitely forgot beer outside again. Now that Joe's cracker went open, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't think I have any in here.
Yeah, well, that's why I was mad at you for messing up the first intro, because I was thirsty and I had to do it all over again.
Oh, so you ratted on me? Okay, that's cool. I'll remember.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, I forgot we were live.
I'll remember all that. Got a lot to get into today. As you know, some breaking news with the women's basketball program happened this afternoon. And, you know, it's a good thing we didn't do the show on Sunday like we were supposed to. Sometimes it works out when Joe is, I don't know what he was doing. I didn't ask. I didn't care because it's fine. It's okay.
You know, yeah, it doesn't matter.
there's nothing pressing right now other than a couple DMs and emails wondering when we're going to go next. But, you know, we're here. It's roughly over 2 weeks. That's not a big deal. And I want to get into everything. But, of course, first, if you have not been to the Locker Room app, which is now the Green Room, it's owned by Spotify now. And I just want to say, they have made some changes. Some changes for the better over there. It's called the Green Room. Go there, and you can follow us. It is Sean space Cuse Militia. That's how you find us there. And all you got to do is have an email address, set up a password, and parts of this show are going to go live. Of course, when we do fan feedback, those are going to be live as well. And we're going to get as much of that going as possible. And maybe even do some live buy, sell, or holds or whatever. The sky's the limit. We don't need it. We don't need the phone number anymore. That's what's brilliant about this, because it's all on an app. The app's free, and you don't have to just listen to us. You can start your own thing. You can do your own thing there. You can do anything. It's topics galore there. All kinds of categories. Do whatever the hell you want. You can become a star like Joe. Become a star like Joe. Go to the Green Room.
Huh.
Go to the iOS store. Download the Green Room app. Or what did I say? iOS, Android. You guys get the point. You know what I'm saying. So, anyways. Okay. All right.
I was confused.
Joe... Really, that's not saying much. Didn't we go?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's start here. Kayla Traynor. This is good news. Okay. She's a player lacrosse, women's lacrosse player from 13 to 16. She's a four-time All-American. Obviously, she was part of the Boston College team that recently beat Syracuse for the 2021 national title. She had made two previous appearances to the national title game before that and failed, but she was named the new head coach of the women's lacrosse team post Gary Gates' departure from there, heading to the men's team. That's excellent. I think that was the most obvious pick. If I was to be a women's lacrosse analyst, that would be where you'd go, right?
Yeah.
She was assistant head coach and over then, there in Boston College.
Yeah. Assistant head coach, offensive coordinator. She did both of those roles. So obviously kind of up there on the totem pole, and after they come in and they beat us right in the national championship, it was pretty much a no brainer, obviously being an alum and
I think
getting
so.
To the point where she was probably ready to get her first head coaching gig, and Gary Gate being, you know, that coach that got this team back, you know, into national relevance. I think he's left it in a pretty good place. And on top of that, he's still obviously involved with the Syracuse Athletics program.
He's left it, and he coached her, and he left it in a great place. I mean, obviously, but the Syracuse coaching bench is, it runs deep, man, everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah, and there was some letters out there for, to, there was people that even that wanted her to be the head coach. They brought it to John Wildhack's attention, and I think obviously it was a no-brainer. So it's good for them. Keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going from national championship teams and being the head coach of the team you just beat.
Yeah, and hey, redemption, right?
Not a bad gig.
I mean, what kind of story would it be if she went ahead and brought these girls to a national champion, even if she just makes a Final Four next year? And I'm not setting expectations. I'm just saying it would be a great story. Because obviously right. She's a good coach and she's got the credentials, and they didn't hire her just because she's a former lacrosse player or whatever.
A name.
Right? So, yeah. Exactly. Jeremy Grant, former SU forward, he will represent the United States in the Tokyo Olympics. And, I mean, what can you say, Jeremy Grant? I mean, this guy had lit it up this year. I think he was averaging like 22 points a game or something this year. I mean, as you guys know, those who listen regularly, I don't watch the NBA. I have no desire to watch the NBA.
Dude,
But he was lighting it up. Yeah. I read the stories coming up into, you know, the postseason stuff this year, and I keep track of the SU players in the NBA for the most part. So,
yeah,
congrats
22
to him.
Points,
that's awesome.
Almost 5 rebounds, right? 3 assists. And
used to be the other way around, right, Joe? He used to be more of a rebounder than a shooter.
Yeah, I mean, he got signed by Detroit, and Detroit wasn't a great team this year, so I mean, he was like their main guy. I don't know, I forget if he made the All Star game or if he got snubbed or if he ended up getting in there because of an injury or something. But obviously, regardless of that fact, being able to, and I know a lot of players have kind of said no to the Olympics, but yeah, I mean, just to be able to be mentioned and be an option, you know, and then get asked, it's just great, you know. So I think it's kind of one of those things where I think he's passed the torch of, I think, the best Syracuse player in the league. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, right now.
Yeah. I mean, all time, obviously it's Melo, but yeah. I'd say right now.
He's only the second SU player to be on a Olympic team, too. Is that right? I mean, it was Carmelo and him.
I believe there were some older back in the day when the Olympics took college players. You know
fair
I mean?
Enough.
But yes,
yeah.
I think this is the second player to, and obviously that's, again, doesn't count for the Syracuse players that play for other countries as well. I don't know exactly, you know, how many play for other countries either. So there's that.
Right.
As far as USA, yeah, he's definitely the second.
Right. And in modern, you know,
yes,
modern times as well. So as far as I've been watching or paying attention, right? So Dior Johnson, this isn't like huge Syracuse news other than this dude just decommits and commits to everything that comes across his path. So,
okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
He's made a verbal commitment to Oregon, and obviously I mentioned this mainly because Quincy's there, and so it seemed like a weird situation. I don't trust anything Dior Johnson says or puts out there, especially on Twitter or anything like that. He likes to stir the pot. He likes to razz people and get things going. There was a report too that he was offered $1.2 million to play in the NBL in Australia. So before heading to the NBA. So if there's money on the table, I mean, if it's me, I don't blame the dude. If it's me, that's where I'm going. I'm going to take the money. I don't care. Yeah. You know, 1.2 mil before, you know, I can get into the NBA, I'll take it. But, you know, the saga of Dior Johnson continues.
Yeah. Well, some people love that, or they dream about that NCAA. You know, you grow up playing NCAA basketball, playing in March Madness, and then you actually get a chance to go do it. You know, I think right now he's the number 15 player in the draft, knowing that he's most likely going to go pro after 1 year. Like some players are there. The allure of that is what draws them to the college. But obviously there's other things that are happening, and obviously the options for money for these players coming out of high school, other than obviously going to the NBA, because that's not an option right now. They're obviously getting more bigger and obviously more pricey too. I mean, like you said, 1.2, I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Darius Baisley, he left and he got $1 million for a shoe company,
yeah,
or apparel company, kind of just taking a shot on him, you know?
Right.
So these players are getting significant amount of money just coming out and in Darius Baisley's situation, not even playing. So
right. And, you know, that's going to lead us into the name, image, and likeness talk. But as far as Johnson goes, he has trouble even committing before college. And plus, and you mentioned can't even pick a high school, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and did Quincy even say whether or not he's withdrawn his name or not?
Oh, no, I have no idea.
I don't know.
No,
Oregon's playing a little Russian roulette right now, is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, hey man, throw it all on the table, all in. I mean,
hey, they get both of them, they'll probably be a pretty good team. Because I know they got talent up there already. So,
oh yeah, they'll be excellent. They made what, the Elite Eight this past season? I mean, I don't know that team well, but you know,
no.
Is it the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight?
They've been good recently,
right? Exactly,
better team than us recently.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I don't know. we turn it on at the right time. They did beat us a couple years ago in some tournament, though, did they not?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, moving on. Name, image, and likeness stuff, Joe. And we have done, we've talked a lot about this. So it was a Supreme Court court decision that came down 9-0 against the NCAA in the Alston case, which I'm going to be honest, I'm not super familiar with. I do remember hearing about it. But basically what this does is allow colleges to pay students not monetarily with money, but to give them benefits, things like laptops and paid postgraduate internships and things like that. According to Forbes, there's some other things, too, that they can do in there. And basically what this does is it kind of opens the door for name, image, and likeness. Okay. It was kind of a broad ruling, in my opinion. It just opens the door for more litigation and to be able to kind of move forward with this stuff. Right. So there's really nothing to report from that. But, I did see something that was, the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, he sent a letter to, the membership urging rules to be passed relating to name, image, and likeness before July 1st, which is quickly approaching. Before some of these states, this is before the state laws go into effect, right? I think there's like maybe Florida, Alabama. There's a couple states that are going to permit this name, image, and likeness stuff. Mm-hmm. And he just wants to get his ducks in a row. My critique of that would be, Mr. Emmert, whatever the hell your name is, you should have done this a year ago. Get your ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. Like, you should have known that this was going to happen. You should already have a plan. And maybe he does, and that's fine. But we have yet to see it. July 1st, quickly approaching. So we'll see what happens there, Joe. But I saw something that Donna DeTota from Syracuse.com put out, and she just kind of broke it down really, really good as far as the name, image, and likeness stuff and how it can be started. And building a brand, it's like the social media stuff. I think they said it's like 80 cents per follower is how they're going to gauge how much you're worth as far as people looking at you through social media. So you're going to push things on social media or whatever, and 80 cents per follower is the going rate, apparently. Like, Joe Girard has, I mean, he's whatever he has, I don't know, but it equaled like $47,000 a year. I forget what he's got on Instagram, but that's kind of how they're gonna pay, or deem paying, I should say, right? Kind of a model, let's say. Okay. And then selling yourself, you know, basically how you're going to promote yourself. Are you going to hire people to set stuff up for you? Or are you going to do booster stuff? Or are you going to do, I mean, are you going to have, is this going to be a part-time job where you've got, you know, a group of people that work for you, that set things up for you and all this stuff in between doing whatever you're doing on campus? And then how will colleges deal with it? Basically, the licensing, the logo use. In other words, if Buddy Boeheim sells a jersey, is he going to have to kick back something for a Syracuse logo on it? Is it just going to say Boeheim with his number? You know, there's all kinds of things.
There's so many things
that are going to go into this. And part of me thinks, well, I think this is long overdue, and we've talked about it, and I stand by that, and I think there should be something there. But there is also a can of worms. This is going to have some negative repercussions somewhere. And I can't quite point them out right now, but one of the big ones that I think about is, you know, if this becomes a part-time job for these kids, which is great, but where are their heads really at? You know, and that's and that's why I always said the name, image, and likeness stuff comes from selling your name, image, and likeness to EA Sports is always an easy one. There's no work to that, right? Things like the autographs and selling those on eBay and doing that type of stuff, the easy stuff. So, but this is going to be a business. This is going to turn into a business for these kids at some point. It's just how long, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's some of the stuff that I don't like when you look at it is obviously like I don't. He obviously had to get his ducks in a row because states that are going to allow that, then those states are just going to monopolize college sports. I mean, there's so many great players that come from those states anyway. Then you have those states pass those rules. Then obviously players are going to want to stay in state. So it's going to kind of, you know, change. You know, there's going to be monopolies. There's going to be state monopolies in college football, basketball. All players are going to want to go there because they can make money. Now, when it comes to making the money, I think that that's where you have to obviously be very, very careful, because you still have to look at the fact that the better players are going to have advantages, and that's okay. But how many advantages are we going to allow them to accept? You know what I mean? Like, are they going to be able to take money from businesses for no reason, or agents for no reason? You know what I mean? Because it takes money to make money, right?
Yeah.
You could have some players that have parents' money. Hey, mom, let me get $30 so I can get people to $30,000 so I can promote myself. This and is then make a whole bunch of money, right?
Right, and it's going to tank. Like, it's going to tank schools. It's going to tank smaller schools. It's going to be a huge problem.
Yep. Right, and that's the problem. And then you get some of these kids that they don't have the money at home from their parents to be able to buy promoters or get people to take care of managers, stuff like that, to get them, you know, situation set up to where they can maybe go somewhere and sign autographs or do these things, right? So there's still going to be those kind of things that I think that they're going to have to police. And I think that you just got to take this with baby steps. You know, you can't open up the floodgates. You got to just allow them to be able to fairly and not so crazily make money.
Right. And exactly. And if they would have set these parameters and allowed it from the get-go, we wouldn't kind of be in this, you know, mess. I mean, it's a mess. It's going to be a mess, I got a feeling. And you know, as if recruiting and stuff wasn't already shady enough. We're going to add this aspect to it. And what is that going to look like? And what are those parameters going to be? And how is this going? How is that going to affect some of the smaller schools in that aspect, like I talked about? And I mean, I don't know. We're just going to have to see, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what it looks like.
How tightly is it going to be monitored as far as, okay, these players just made that, and where's the paperwork for it?
Right.
Because you never know if that's just booster money, and I just went over and did this. I mean, just a little while back, what, Syracuse football, they got in trouble for players taking money for going and coaching camps at YMCAs out in Oneida. I mean, they're going out there on an internship, and the YMCA is giving them cash on the side. Like, the coach doesn't know. Is there going to be paperwork attached to that? Where does that go? I mean, come on. I mean, there's just going to be so many things where if you open up the floodgates, then you're just allowing the booster money to just flow any and everywhere you want.
Right. And, you know, I mean, with money, more problems, you know? I don't know who said it, but it's a great quote. You know what I mean? All right.
Dude, it's going to be ugly.
I know. But I think if they would have cut this off before it got to where it got, it could have been a little bit more beneficial it'd be a little bit more clear. And we always have said this. The waters are murky. We don't know what it is. It's very dirty. And the whole thing seems shady and is going to get shadier.
Yeah. So, and it doesn't. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be allowed to make their own money.
Right. But we're on record,
because obviously you're talking about student athletes, where you know, obviously, you know, the university, your parents, every coach, like you're going there to go to school and play basketball. You don't have a lot of time, so like you said, to your point, you worry about those. You know, how much are they gonna concentrate on all these other things? I think that's going to be another huge issue as well. So I mean, I think we got to keep the big aspect of why kids go to college in the first place kind of in front of everything else, you know, and then to make a little bit of spending money, that's a little bit different. But you shouldn't be going to college to make professional money. Like,
no, which comes down to building your brand, which is, you know, you either build your brand before you get there or while you're there, and that comes off of popularity, and popularity usually comes from your play. So it all comes.
And if you created a business, I make bow ties and I happen to just be a basketball player. I did this in high school, and you got a business going into college. Fair game, you know. But all this stuff is through paperwork and is legitimate. I worry about all the dirty handshakes. You know, I'll give you this amount of money. Just show up at my place two nights a week, type stuff.
Yeah, because stuff's already going on somewhere.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. It already is anyway, but if you make it legal.
Right. It's like, yeah, exactly. I have examples, but I'm going to keep those myself. So, look, okay. Come out today, report by The Athletic, and, you know, it's been the hot topic all day, and that is that Syracuse University
already hit ESPN.
It's on ESPN. Great. Syracuse University is launching an investigation into Quentin Hillsman, the head basketball coach for the women's team. And there's a lot of ugly stuff in here. I first want to say that allegations should be taken seriously, right? And they should not necessarily be believed, because people could be lying, but they should be taken seriously. They should be looked at and either tossed out or investigated further. And I think everybody has a right to due process to some extent, even if it's outside the law, even if it's with work, school, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, when we did the podcast on the, what was it, 12 transfers this year that left at the end of this year, we speculated. I said, I think on the show, I believe, if I didn't, I said it to Joe, but either way, I'll say it now. I think that there's something going on with Coach. I didn't know what that was. Yeah. I had no idea. So I think he deserves due process, as everybody does. The allegation should be taken seriously and not necessarily just believed right off the bat. But there was always something about Coach that rubbed me the wrong way. I'm just going to say this because it doesn't matter anymore, because I don't think he's going to. I think that allegations like this from 19 people, this is national news now, like Joe said, I think his days are numbered at SU if they don't make him just step down. And
that's, I think, what it's going to be. But yes. Go on.
Well, my point is that I always took him for someone with a bigger ego. And just the way he carried himself and the wear your mask in your convertible with the top down stuff always rubbed me the wrong way. But, you know, so here.
There's nothing wrong with an ego as long as you can control that ego.
Right. And it doesn't look like, it looks like maybe he lost control a little bit, if this is true. So here's some of the allegations, Joe, and then you can take it. Hillsman threatened players that he would F you guys up, even though they knew he would never physically harm them. Standing before every player at halftime during a game in the 1920 season saying, I don't give a F about you, before flipping a table over. Hillsman coming up behind a player, wrapping his arms around her with his hands placed on her pelvic region. Three women felt uncomfortable after Hillsman kissed them on the forehead following a discussion about playing time. Hired longtime friend Ronnie Enoch, who had been accused of sexual harassment at a previous job. Enoch allegedly made players and managers feel uncomfortable. You had managers in there. That's kind of a different ballgame. Two players describe instances where Hillsman refused to provide water to players after running punishing sprints. So now Joe brought something to my attention before we came online, and that The Athletic has a podcast, Joe, and you were listening to it. What's it called?
The Lead.
The Lead. Okay.
The Lead by Wondery, but it's through...
Wondery is a network.
The Athletic.
Right. Wondery is a network. So, you say it.
Okay, well, yeah, basically on the podcast, they had The Athletic, Chantel Jennings, and Dana O'Neill, who essentially was just looking into it, and they were talking about it. And again, you can go to it on Spotify and some other places, The Lead. The whole 24-minute podcast basically about this whole thing, and it was these two reporters that essentially were just looking at it like something's up. Like 11 people leave, where there's smoke, there's fire. So we're just going to kind of go and just ask some of these players what's up. And obviously they got resounding responses. Players, if you're talking about 19 players, you're talking about players that have been long gone and this hasn't come up. Correct. So, again, that's one of the things that, kind of bothered me about it. And then obviously again, too, another thing that, they mentioned in the podcast that they didn't mention in the article was that, you know, there was players of the players that they've talked to. They said some, you know, upwards of a number of like five players, seek counseling, and some other players had suicidal thoughts. And there was just there was a big mistrust there after they got there and they saw kind of how he was. And again, there were some comments of some players that thought that after losing the 2016 national championship and kind of getting to the pinnacle and not really getting that crown, that it kind of drove him a little bit, you know, got his ego to put it to another level. And again, there's been no formal complaints filed through any of these players. And I don't know right now, it doesn't look like it's a situation where I don't think it's going to be a trial based thing. Cause obviously, I mean, there would be players that would have to,
you have to file police reports and
go through that whole thing.
Sure.
But obviously it's not a good look, and allegations like this, especially in today's world, the university isn't going to put up with it. And like you said, I think he's as good as gone. You know, I thought he was a good coach. But after listening to the podcast and everything, again, still all allegations. And I mean, if someone tried to sue him, who knows how many of those people that spoke would even show up and testify. But maybe this was one of those things for these players to kind of get back and be like, kind of temper the ego a little bit. Not really like a spite thing, but like a, hey, you know, just we're going to get it out there. This is what happened. So, I mean, you never really know, but it's always tough because sometimes, and again, playing devil's advocate, if you look at it and you're like, well, if it was that bad, then how come there was never any formal complaints? How come there was never any legal allegations or things that came out against Coach? And again, that's just the devil's advocate other side of it.
It's legit, though. I mean, it's legit. I mean, you think if you got girls with, and I'm not, I'm just saying, if that's true, if there's girls that had seek counseling, had suicidal thoughts, or, you know, has done traumatic, you know, if it's been traumatic for them mentally, then you would think that there would be something that had come out. But
yeah, and again, you know, you have these reporters talking, and it's obviously, I mean, when you listen to it, it sounds way worse than
the writing that we're
in the article, right? Yeah. And obviously, like I said, I mean, I don't, one way or another, someone else is going to make this decision. It's not my decision to be made, and I'm not saying that he should or shouldn't keep his job. I'm just saying more or less that when you look at the statements like you read out, oh, he said F this or he said this, there's insensitive, but at the same time, we don't know what he was talking about at the time or what else was going on.
It could be out of anything else
said prior or after, you don't know, so.
Could be out of context.
Right, and context is, well,
context
used
is
to be everything.
It should be still. It used to be.
Yeah, and that's the whole point. And so a lot of things I feel like some of those stories to me seem like they could be out of context, because if true, I feel like we would have heard about it. But nonetheless, players spoke up, the article's out, and more.
Oh, it's going to get worse tomorrow. It'll get worse tomorrow.
It's definitely going to get worse tomorrow. And then what's going to happen is I feel like Syracuse is just going to get rid of him, or he's going to step down and resign.
He'll be forced to step down, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that's really what it's going to be, because they don't want the mess. Because, you know, if he does keep his job, if Syracuse keeps his job, you got to understand the backlash there. And then there's probably going to be a couple of those players that, because some of those players probably did speak out to say, I don't want him. I don't want to go to court, but I'd like to see him fired.
Well, they can't bring him. They can't take him to court for those things. Not those allegations aren't court worthy. It's not. There's nothing there. It did not break the law anywhere in here.
Well,
these allegations that I read,
kisses on the forehead, right?
It's not breaking the law.
The hands around the pelvic. I'm playing devil's advocate now.
I just don't think it warrants that. Let's just pretend, hypothetically, this is true. It's not good stuff. It's not good.
No.
And it needs to go. But it's not arrest you stuff. I just don't think so.
No.
I just think that.
Well, and this is where. I'm not the moral compass, but this is where it comes to the situation where if these things are happening to anybody out there and you feel uncomfortable, you
need
speak
to say
up.
Something.
Because if you speak up, he either loses his job or he cuts the shit, right? So it's one of those things where sitting back, it's only going to affect you. It's only going to affect you more. And this is a case in an instance where if these allegations are true, then it should have got brought to light a long time ago. And he either would have been checked at the door or he would have been gone.
Right. And in all fairness,
now,
go ahead.
Well, now it's a situation where he's in a no-win situation, even though Tiana did come out and kind of.
That's where I was going next. It's Tiana and a couple other players. She did tweet today. It's sad when you don't get what you want, minutes, contracts after college. You accuse others of things to make them look bad. If only I exposed some of my teammates for how they treated me once I was diagnosed with cancer. Now that is a gut check. So, look.
Well, that's where that devil's advocate came in with me.
Right.
Because I saw that and I'm like, okay. Because you saw how he was with her. And obviously she loves the guy.
Right. And there's a lot of girls
that
do.
She alludes to the fact. Right. And she alludes to the fact that there were some players in there that weren't happy with their playing time and may have made a bigger deal about a situation that possibly was there that nobody else was really there and might be got taken out of context.
Could be just spite.
So, right. But again, is a university going to allow a coach to sit there and fight for his job like that and go through the whole.
First of all, okay, let me give you another scenario in my honest opinion on this. And this is hypothetical. Let's say none of this is true. Let's say none of it is true, and Syracuse knows it. I think Syracuse still makes him resign because they just can't handle pressure. And it's not just Syracuse, but we talk Syracuse sports. I don't see them handling it well. Okay? I don't see them saying, you know what? We investigated this stuff, and hey, look, I'll be the first one to come on here and eat crow if this is the case. You know what? We investigated this stuff. These allegations are baseless. They're false, and we find no evidence of any of this. We're standing by our coach. I'll be the first one to come on here. But I bet you my Bitcoin that is not happening. They cannot face the public pressure. People can't do it anymore. Corporations can't do it. Private colleges can't do it. State colleges can't do it. No one can handle the pressure anymore. That's it. Mm-mm. Mob rule.
Yep. That's pretty much it. Yeah. That's where I'm pretty much at with it as well. That's why I think they're just going to wash their hands and be done.
Yep. And we'll see. You know,
you don't want to be the black eye in the media.
No. And it's, now it's on ESPN? Hell no. Hell no. They are not having that. They are not having that. No. So, okay. Mm-mm. All right. We will be right back.
He keeps his job. Stephen A. Smith will be talking about
it. Oh, my gosh. Don't get me started on that guy. We will be right back after we hear from Green Room.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
One more time, formerly known as the Locker Room app, this is The Green Room, brought to us by Spotify. Get on there. Go to the iOS store, the Android store. Create an account. All you need is an email and a password, gang, and a username. And boom, you're in. Follow us at Cuse. Wait, no. Sean space Cuse Militia. That's how you can find us. You get in the room. You can listen to us live. Portions of the show will be live on there. And you can enter. You can talk. We can have a good old time. And also, obviously, moving forward, we are going to use this for fan feedback. We hope that you will participate in that, the Green Room app. And you don't have to just listen to us bloviate and spew nonsense. You can also spew your own nonsense and create your own room and see if people can join you there as well. So, Green Room app, like I said, iOS and Android stores. We appreciate you. Green Room. Okay. And I forgot my music. That's okay. That's okay. I kind of want to do it over again and add the music. I kind of do.
It's all right. Music you did before, I kind of do better than that.
That was a dude playing a shovel, bro. By the way, that was really good stuff. Joe, you are not like a music guy. You're not a music guy. Is that fair to say?
That's very fair to say.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you can't respect the 3-string shovel. You can't respect that. You got no respect for that.
I don't even know what it is. I mean, I'm imagining it's it now, but I've
never heard about
it. It's a
shovel with 3 strings.
With 3 strings. Yeah, I get it now, but I didn't never see it before.
I'm going to send it to you. You're going to love it.
You don't need to.
You're going to love it.
What, UPS? You got one?
No, I don't. No, I'm going to send you the video, you goon.
No.
What are you talking about?
You weren't specific.
On to better news, Joe. And that is the latest stuff besides the Coach Q, mess is in the name, image, and likeness mess and all of that. In the D.R. Johnson mess, is Justin Taylor. This is great, okay? Because the first thing I thought of, and many of you thought of too on Twitter, was that the Boeheim can't recruit sarcastic crowd came out of their shell and got to gloat a little bit, which is great because I'm in that group. But a 4-star Justin Taylor committed to the Orange, 6'6", 200 pounds. He's technically a small forward, but as I've read Mike McAllister put out and a couple other people, he's probably going to take over for Buddy once he leaves. Taylor is the 84th ranked player in the class of 2022 by 247 composite rankings, but 247 by itself has him ranked 56. He's going to join Kamari Lands, the second recruit of the 2022 class. Both great recruits, by the way. And it looks like recruiting is on its way up for Syracuse, which is tremendous. Taylor is from Charlottesville, Virginia. And he was also pursued by UVA right in, the Charlottesville backyard. And Syracuse pulled him from there, brought him to Syracuse. Also had offers from Virginia Tech and North Carolina. So, I mean, that's a good get. That's a really good get. And they're going to use him as a shooting guard from what I'm reading. And he's going to be, when he was on campus for his visit or whatever, he was with Coach and they thought he was Buddy. And if you look at him, I mean, for a second, it's like, oh, yeah, it looks like Buddy. It could be like freaking Buddy's brother. Yeah. It's crazy. So
yeah, I mean, I watched a couple tapes of him, and he's obviously a jumper. I see him dunking on guys. He shoots 40% from the three-point land. So he looks to me, obviously, as a junior, he can still add. If he adds an inch or two, then that's going to move him down to small forward. So I think in the way they're thinking now is that he could play shooting guard, but
if he keeps growing,
doesn't, then he could be just a wing guy down there on the bottom. He could be a small forward and still help us there. So kid's athletic, he can shoot, and again, just adding to that class, Kamari Lands still in that class, and we're still trying to grab a couple guys. He's talked to Kyle Fopkowski and Copeland, I think Whittier Copeland, two other guys that took visits to Syracuse that he's trying to get to come to Syracuse, and I think Flipkowski is also he's in the running, like Duke's in the running as well. So he's one of those big time kind of 6'10" athletic guys that everyone's kind of looking for. So yeah, it's definitely exciting. I know having one recruit this year plus obviously 3 transfers is a little boring when you look at this. Then you look at our recruiting rankings and our class rankings this year. It's not going to be that great, but next year is definitely looking to be the year after, so to speak, looking to be pretty good.
Yeah, and I think you're getting
North Carolina, Virginia. There's a couple guys at work that were like, you know, I mean, yeah. We know it was Virginia Tech, North Carolina. That's around our area, so we know. You know, he chose us over those teams plus Indiana, who was announced that was our Big Ten ACC Challenge opponent this year.
Yeah, so I mean, they're putting the pieces together, you know, as they should, and they've got all of your scholarships. We're free and clear of all of that stuff, so they're putting they're putting the future together. And you know, we still don't know how much longer, you know, Coach Boeheim's going to be around. But I mean, this dude's, I think, I hope, I mean, I know a lot of people don't, but I hope that he just coaches until he absolutely can't or does not want to. You know, if it's still in him to do, and I know we can get into it some other time, but as far as the coaching goes and how much he actually is there and all those things. But as far as coach goes, huge recruiting tool, and obviously he knows what he's doing, and if he coaches for the next 10 years, I'll be happy with it. So, all right. Summer basketball is right around the corner. I think July 24th is going to be the first game for Boeheim's Army. Let me double-check that. I believe that is it. But they are going to play the NG Saints. Or excuse me. I'm way ahead of myself. That's not true. Scratch that. That's not true at all. Let's go over the roster first. You got Chukwu. You got Devendorf. CJ Fair. Tyler Lydon. Chris McCullough. Tyrese Rice. He's from Richmond, played at BC. Malachi Richardson, huge. Kiefer Sykes, he played most recently in Australia, point guard. Andrew White, and most recently, 6'4 guard DeAndre Kane. And he was playing for Overseas Elite, actually won 3 championships with them in 16, 17, and 18. They were just most recently upset a couple years ago by Carmen's Crew, which is the Ohio State alums team. So he's a big get, that dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say, I didn't know, like, when I saw this, I saw that obviously Overseas Elite not being in the tournament this year is obviously a positive for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also seeing us kind of go outside of just Syracuse players kind of just proves to me that they're really kind of going for it now. I'm telling you right now that if they seeded this tournament and they knew that we had DeAndre Kane and Kiefer Sykes, we would probably be a number one seed.
Okay, fair enough.
So, I mean, you look at some of these guys that we have, obviously we know what these guys can do. Tyler Lydon, Chris McCullough, I think they're going to help us down low, those down low forward type players.
I think
obviously Chukwu, a rim protector, right? But, I mean, Tyrese Rice, he was just a sharpshooter for Boston College way back in the day. And I know that it was, you know, he played with Eric Devendorf, right? So,
yeah.
He's a little bit older, but DeAndre Kane is an absolute monster, and he's definitely going to help. And obviously, Kiefer Sykes, I did not know that he was on the team until you just told me. I remember watching him in Wisconsin Green Bay.
Yeah.
Little small guard, but he can fly. He can go up. He can dunk. He was one of their main players. He was fun to watch, and he hopefully is going to be fun to watch in this tournament. He's going to be the that's probably what you're looking at with your point guards. Obviously, Devendorf's going to help, but Kiefer Sykes, he's a shorter guy, but he's very athletic, and he's just got that, he can just go, just change direction crazy. You're going to see. But either way, those guys are a get, and that just really kind of got me pumped for this tournament. So I think they're going to do all right.
After the past 2 years being slightly disappointed, I am absolutely looking forward to this, and their first game is going to be on the 20th. It's on the 24th. I think it's at noon, and they're going to play Forces of Seoul, and this is their first time in the TBT. So, I thought this was kind of interesting, is that Scoop Jardine and Rick Jackson, when I mentioned NG Saints, this is what I was talking about. They're going to be in the tournament but they're not going to be playing for Boeheim's Army. They're going to play Scoop Jardine and Rick Jackson. They're going to play for the NG Saints, and that is a Newman Garotti High School alum, I guess, out of Philly, right? So,
yeah,
that's cool to have them in there and everything, but Garotti, sorry. It's cool to have them in there, but I was a big Scoop fan, man. I would love to see Scoop, Boeheim's Army, obviously. So we'll keep our eye on them too, being Syracuse players, and we'll give them a. I'll be rooting for them as long as they're not playing Boeheim's Army. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do. Rick Jackson, obviously, another great player, and. It's going to be fun this year without Overseas Elite just dominating this thing. And I know, like I mentioned earlier, they got beat by Carmen's Crew a couple years ago. And then last year. Yeah, that was last year, right?
Mm-hmm. It was the first time they lost. They won in 16, 17, and 18. Last year, Carmen's Crew won.
No. Carmen's Crew didn't win last year. Wasn't the Marquette team won last year? Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. The Carmen's Crew won. But anyways, before that, they were dominating. Overseas Elite was just dominating, and they took us out once, and you knew that every time they were in there, they were going to make the finals, for crying out loud. So, anyways, nice to see that whole thing break up finally, and it's going to be interesting to see how this squad does. Like, not a big fan of the Hero Ball stuff.
Marquette squad's back.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And Carmen's Crew.
Yeah.
Is back.
Is Kraft back? So
those two, Kraft is back.
I could never stand that kid because he's good. That's why. I'll just be honest. But, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, anyways. Yep,
pretty much.
Joe, that's all I got. Do you have any kind of football update? Because it's been a little bit beyond lackluster as far as the football goes. And like you said, come August, we're going to flip the switch. We're going to be hearing and seeing a whole lot more Syracuse football stuff. But as of right now, man, it is just the latest news for Syracuse football, by the way, if I'm remembering this right, is Willie Tyler transferring out of Syracuse. So,
I mean, there's been certain websites that have been doing some, position previews. I know that Matt Park back near, around the spring, he did some interviews with the offensive defensive coordinator, did one with Dino Babers. And there's not really the Orange Fizz just came out with an article about recruiting in Syracuse, stuff like that. So there's some stuff that's floating around, but nothing really crazy right now. I could talk another half hour about that recruiting article and just recruiting in general and we're definitely not going to do that, but I'm just saying, leave that for another podcast. But that's just some stuff that if people haven't seen it, you can go out and kind of check those things out and give you a little bit of info.
Orange Fizz for the recruiting stuff. They do a really good job, in my opinion.
They do. Yeah.
And Mike McAllister, obviously working his fingers to the bone every day for us, putting out stuff. But the Orange
puts out a bunch of stuff too. Yep.
Noons. But Orange, if I am like, if I'm prepping a show for recruits, okay. And that's what I'm looking for. That only I'm going to Orange Fizz first and then I'll get what I can get and I'll go everywhere else. Put it that way.
No, Mike McAllister, he did do well with the last two weekends have been big recruiting weekends for us on campus. Yeah. And he's been putting up articles on Sports Illustrated for these individual, players that are coming here. And there's even been a couple if anybody that goes to 247 Sports, they have these crystal ball announcements where they have
projections.
People that work for them. Projections on where they're going to go, percentages and all that stuff. And I guess there's a guy that is 52 of 54 this year in the recruiting class so far, and he's got two of the guys that came and visited last weekend choosing Syracuse. So obviously you never know because nothing's really came out yet as far as commitments, but the last two weekends, from what I understand, reading articles and some of the things I've seen on the internet, have gone pretty well for some of those players.
All right. Well, that's awesome. So obviously we're going to see here shortly and we'll bring it to you. Maybe get Mike McAllister back on or, whatever, and you know, whatever. Maybe we'll get some fan stuff going. It'd be nice to do some fan feedback once again. Get some buy seller holds.
Well,
and
a lot
in
of those guys too are looking to commit in July. Don't have any more visits left, so definitely going to be seeing some commits in some of the recruiting for the football season. Kind of getting hot here in July because it kind of slows down once camp starts in the fall, getting ready for the season and everything like that. So
right. All right. Well, you know what? That's going to about do it for us, everybody. We appreciate you for coming back. We're 10 minutes short of our regular scheduled time, but that's okay. I appreciate all of you for coming on. Go to the green room, get your account ready, go there, follow us. Sean, Space Cuse Militia, thank you for hanging out with us. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.